studios of AM 970. From the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. Travel with a third-generation travel icon, Linda Perillo. The Fox News Medical All-Stars featuring Dr. Mark Siegel, Dr. Marty McCary, Dr. Jeanette Nishwat, and the OG, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Legal analysis from former prosecutor and court journalism superstar Imran Ansari and Christine Nicholas. The quintessential heartbeat to New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other, united to bring back New York. Now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
And welcome back. It's Radio Night Live. It's Tuesday. It's after 7 o'clock, and that means that it is time to talk travel. And here on Tuesday nights, we love doing it. We, being the collective me, Kevin McCullough, and this lady right here, Linda Perillo, of those Perillos. Yes, she's one of those famous Perillos.
Lucky
and,
me.
And you sprung a surprise on me tonight, Linda. You're headed to your beloved Italy very, very soon.
Last minute, as a matter of fact, my daughter attends NYU here, and she is doing her junior year abroad. A semester abroad, actually, in Florence. Now, my son did it. He went to Marist, and he had, I mean, my God, he said it was the best 5 months of his life. He also had all his friends. NYU does it a little differently. They have actual campus there and housing, dorm-like. When Devin went with Marist, he had a separate apartment. So it was like a frat party every night. There were like six guys. Kevin, when I went to visit him, I walked into his apartment and I was like, Jimmy Hoffa has to be in the bathroom.
Mom was having second thoughts at that point.
Oh my God. I said, Devin, how you didn't catch like diphtheria just from your fucking kitchen.
Bleep
my F out there. Your kitchen sink. I mean, I don't know. It was
so
gross.
Let me ask you about these programs in particular, because obviously I think people listening would think, hey, this would be a great way for my kid to experience, especially if they haven't traveled a lot, maybe experience some immersion into another culture. What degree of Italian do they need to speak in order to participate in them? Is it different at different schools, or are they completely in English and you can kind of get by on what you know?
It's varied, you know, because like, so Valentina is studying there and she's also taking Italian, right? So, I mean, Italian's
great,
my first
great time to do it if you're going to be there for a few months.
Right. But my point is, like, she was immersed as a child. It's our culture. It's my first language. Okay, fine.
Did your parents speak Italian?
My mother was
growing up.
Oh God, my mother, my grandmother spoke no English. Yeah.
Okay.
I could tell you stories about when I went to kindergarten and I always came home and I went, Mom, they don't speak Italian. She's like, right, honey, they don't. And then I was even more horrified to find out that on Sunday, somebody had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch. I'm like, what?
Whoa.
Where's the bruschetta? What do you mean you have peanut butter and jelly?
Where's the slow cooked sauce that, you know, took all day to make?
We had a feast on Sundays. But long story short, you get to choose where you want to go, right? So most of the time, there's some Italian connection, whether you're studying Italian, you are Italian, and that's why you would pick Florence, right? You could go to London. You could go to you can go to Ireland. You could go to Germany. You could pretty much go wherever you want based on what you want to focus on, right? But Vale, my Valentina, she is all about Italy. So, and I haven't seen her. I haven't seen her since she
left. Well, I have to say that when we were there last year, and I was really impressed by this because I've done some degree of European travel.
Mm-hmm.
It was not this way in France, but in Italy, just about everywhere you went, English could get you by. And like everybody knew a little bit. And what, you know, you could figure it out. I mean, now that we all have smartphones too, with Google Translate and all the rest of it, you know, you can, if nothing else, you can put it into your translator, pull it up on the screen and show it to them. And then, oh yes. And then they can figure out the answer. But it was a very different experience to be in a country that was, you know, another native language. Like when I went to France, I knew enough French to get by, and there were some people that knew English. It wasn't like Italy, though. There was a lot more English speaking in Italy.
Well, part of the reason is the European, I definitely know the Italian schools, most European schools, English is required. You don't have a choice whether to take English or not, and they start these kids young because, you know, English, do you remember Esperanto? They tried that. English is the national, it's an international language, right, basically. So most countries do. And then second of all, what do you have? An influx of tourists. You have to be able to speak English if you're in these countries that, you know, that live on tourism. So Italy, most of the time you can get by pretty much on English. And again, they know the key words to talk to tourists. They know questions. They know, you know, so yeah.
Yeah. Israel was similar in that respect. Mm-hmm. Almost everyone spoke some English in Israel.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of other, Germany, France, a lot of other places I've been to that the level of English speaking was not nearly as advanced.
Well, you have to remember, too, I would say Israel and Italy, right? You have a lot of people that are still very saturated with their cultures at home, that are a lot of Italians that are home that go to visit people still in Italy and Israel for sure. I mean, right. My gosh, I mean, you couldn't get more Americanized, and then they go back and they visit their homeland. I mean, wow. But the other countries, you're right, you don't hear that as much. Do you hear somebody around here going, I'm French?
No. Well, there's actually, like, in one of our kids' schools, there's like one French couple.
Right.
That, you know, and he's here on a work assignment for some climate thing. But there are lots and lots of Italians and others that. So, yeah. Well, it's interesting. And I would love to pick your brain a little bit. So Florence is one of those places that our tour did not cover. Uh-huh. I think the Piscopo tours have gone to Florence.
Oh, yeah.
But if people haven't been, what are the things that you don't want to miss if you plan a trip to that section of Italy?
So I have to say this. Florence is a wonderful city, and it's all walking, okay?
Isn't it the birthplace of the Italian language?
Yes, because if you go back to the Medicis, you go back to the Renaissance, a lot of the genesis of that era was Florence, because that's what, for whatever reason, you had a lot of artists and they were all there. And you still see it. I mean, it hasn't left the aura of the city of Florence. Now, you can either love Florence or not love Florence. It's okay to me. Are there other cities I'd rather visit? Yes, not my thing. But if you're into artists and history and stuff, it's great. You cannot miss the David. You have to go to L'Accademia, the Academy, and see the David. That's the one thing, if you go there, you have to see. Then there's Pitti Palace, which also has a lot of art. So if you're into museums and such, most people will have an agenda of all the little museums that they'd like to see. They know where certain pieces are. That's the most famous there too. The Basilica is beautiful. The Baptistry in Florence, I mean, the Duomo is amazing. It's breathtaking.
Well, it has to be. Isn't it the largest largest cathedral in
St. Peter's? Maybe St. Peter's? I don't know.
I thought the Duomo was bigger. We'll look it up.
It could be. Then there's the Duomo Milano as well. So, you know, I don't know.
And that's a beautiful one. We drove by it. We didn't get to go in it. So
they're all beautiful. Yeah. I mean, those churches are just, I mean, it's incredible, right? I mean, even if you go there without a religious agenda, you need to go in there just to see how these artisans of that time were able to construct.
Well, and the fact that it took like 100+ years to build some of them.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, it would took forever. Okay, we're going to take our first break. I didn't know this, but we're taking a little unexpected pit stop in Florence for a little bit of tonight's show. She's Linda Perillo. I'm Kevin McCullough. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
Tell you guys about Relief Factor. Let's talk about a testimony that I was reading earlier. Leah from Ohio, she says one Sunday Leah was sitting on a couch and in so much pain that she literally was in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. In just 8 days she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. She said in her quote, "I truly am amazed at this product." Anyway, I want you guys to go and give Relief Factor a try. Get started with the 3-week quick start for the low price, discounted price of $19.95. And I'm telling you guys, it's worth the money. If you are in pain, your back hurt, your neck hurt, you got inflammation overtaking you, taking over your life, $19 to fix it is a no-brainer. Go to relieffactor.com or call the number 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Nowadays, when a lot of food is good and expensive, Michael's of Brooklyn is something that's just plain good. And if you want the best homemade Italian food, then you must get to Michael's of Brooklyn, Avenue R off Nostrand Avenue. Say hello to Fred and tell him Kevin McCullough sent you here to eat fantastic fresh pasta. And if you can't get to Michael's of Brooklyn, then how about joining the Sauce of the Month Club? You get a different jar of Michael's of Brooklyn pasta sauce and homemade pasta and biscotti each month for 6 months. Each month, receive exquisite sauces ranging from arrabbiata to puttanesca, and of course, the fresh marinara. They're family-owned and operated, and I can attest to the authenticity of every one of their recipes. That's why it's stacked in my pantry. Everything is made completely from scratch, even the sauce they sell in the grocery stores nationwide. They make it right there at Michael's of Brooklyn. So visit michaelsofbrooklyn.com and join the Sauce of the Month Club. That's michaelsofbrooklyn.com or call 718-998-7851. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. I'd like to introduce you to the premier business in the investigative and security field in the United States today, Brosnan Risk Consultants, founded by my friend Pat Brosnan, decorated retired NYPD detective. You must be diligent in protecting the business you worked so hard to grow, family you cherish, and the lifestyle you've achieved. Luckily, there is Brosnan Risk Consultants to keep your business healthy, keep your family safe, and identify the approaching rising tide of danger and loss well before it destroys what you have built. Brosnan Risk Consultants have been protecting clients for over 25 years, operational in 45 states and over 500 cities. Don't settle for second best. Brosnan is the gold standard in investigative and security services. Call now 800-590-2180 or go online to BrosnanRisk.com. BrosnanRisk.com.
AM 97, The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Mike Gallagher says we're witnessing a theft.
Bogus criminal case against Donald Trump. A so-called hush money payment to Stormy Daniels. So now Alvin Bragg has figured out a way to turn it from a misdemeanor into a felony just in time for the election. They are trying to steal the election. No other way to put it. There is an attempt to rig the 2024 election that we're witnessing before our very eyes.
The Mike Gallagher Show, weekdays at 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Our hosts tell it like it is.
No safe spaces here. AM 970. The Answer.
Ooh, what a little moonlight can do.
It's Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough. Ooh.
What a little moonlight.
Welcome back. It's Travel Tuesday, and because this show is co-hosted by a Perillo, a famous Perillo, the famous Perillos that are the Perillos.
Oh, yeah.
And you go anywhere in Italy and you just drop the name Perillo. Oh, yes. Like, it immediately gets their attention. It's really, really fun when I took the bride there last year for our 20th anniversary. But one of the things that we like to one of the things that we base our travel around, and I know that not all people do. Mm-hmm. But for the bride and I, we happen to be very food oriented. Yeah. And the different regions of Italy are as broadly varietal as you can get almost in all of Europe. I mean, really, if you go down to the south and you're eating the Mediterranean fish and the, right, you know, all the bright citrus flavors and all that stuff. And then you go up north and you get the cheeses and the heavier meats and the, you know, the rice and the other stuff. Like, it's a really, really wonderful culinary experience. But Florence is kind of one of those like hidden secrets. At least that's always kind of been the way it is to me. What is distinctive about the food in the Florence region?
Well, you mentioned the regions, right, Kevin? So if you think about it, but I think this goes for any country. You know, their survival was based years ago, right, on the fat of the land. Correct, right? On what the land could provide. I mean, no matter where you go back in history, to what country, there was always farming, there was always agriculture, there was animal raising, whatever. So every region, I'm just going to focus on Italy, and you brought it up, right? If you go towards the coast and you go down the boot, right, you're going to get a lot of fish. It's warmer.
Water fish.
But they fish all year. So if you go,
because the fish there is very different than Venice, right?
Well, Venice, you gotta have to hope that your fish is clean. I mean, yeah. That's like, oh boy. But the point I'm making is Venice too, you're coming off the ocean and you're getting fresh fish. Now you move more inland, correct? And central, which is like where Tuscany is, right? So you're gonna get your grains, you're gonna get your bread, you're gonna get a lot of meat, whether it's chicken or steak. Now, bistecca alla Fiorentina is very famous. Florentine steak. They take a piece of meat and purely, and you're gonna try this, Kevin, unadulterated. All they put on it is salt, olive oil, and lemon.
Huh.
Three very basic, find them anywhere items, right? None of this hoity-toity 15 ingredients. Delicious. Another thing they are very big on in Florence would be their legumes, like lentils, lenticchie, rice, as you brought up, rice. And also, too, as you move further north, you're getting more browner vegetables, I call them.
Right, like root-based things.
Mushrooms. So now you're going to start getting a little more of cream sauces as you go further north. And again, I think more cheese as you go further north.
Well, I was about to say the cheese and the beef production kind of like overlap each other, right?
Yeah, because again, it's what they could survive on. You know, you could keep your cows and make cheese out of your dairy, and they needed to survive on that. As a matter of fact, the best mozzarella and the best cheese is if you go up to Parma. You know, Parmigiano.
Yep.
That's where you get Parmigiano from, is from Parma. Locatelli also. So it's Locatelli Parmigiano. So all these things have meaning. But again, it was based on their survival and what they could sell and what they could feed their families. And it's amazing how it's just become gastronomic, like delicacies around the world. You know, my mother, this is a funny story. My mother loved to cook, right? She was an immigrant, and my grandmother cooked whatever they had. She said she would open, as she got more, like she met my father, and they got married, and you know, things got better for them. She would open up the New York Times food section on a Sunday and go, "Would you look at this? Polenta." She goes, "We were making polenta because we were poor." And she goes, "And now they're even talking about pasta fagioli," which some people refer to as pasta fagioli.
Right, right, right.
Beans. And pasta, because she said that's what we could afford. That's what we had. You know, things like pasta alla carbonara,
Now, the polenta is a corn-based meal.
It's cornmeal.
And where is the corn grown in Italy?
So, again, one of the things that they will do with polenta, this is very, very interesting, because it's more of a northern thing, right, cornmeal. What they do is they'll make what they call polenta al bordo. It means polenta on a board. So they take this very hot, freshly cooked cornmeal, polenta, they throw it on a board like plywood, okay? And then they throw on top of it this meat sauce that has been cooking for hours, chunks of meat, again, northern, right? You have your wild boar, cinghiale, they love their cinghiale, they love their wild boar, they love their cow, any meat, sausage, thrown in a tomato sauce on top of this polenta.
Yeah.
Is unbelievable. But again, you won't find that in Sicily.
I think there's a piece of me that was just born Italian, even though I have no Italian in me at all. But the food that Italy produces are my favorites. Like, if I have an option to get polenta as my carbohydrate in a restaurant in New York versus potatoes, I'll take polenta, you know, 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
It's just because I love those flavors. So I'm looking at the map, and you know, Florence has a lot of food names that we'd recognize. Bologna,
correct.
You already mentioned Parma.
So stop pizza. Bologna for a second.
Pizza Bologna. is just off to the west from them there.
So Bologna, I got to stop you there. Now Bologna is where the stuffed pastas originated. Your tortellini, tortelloni, ravioli.
Is that where the meat sauce came from as well? The bolognese?
A bolognese is a meat-based sauce. So we're going to say, without my having real historical facts in front of me, okay, yeah, we'll say that. But it is, again, people go to
Bologna. Well, these things got named for reasons, right? I mean, Parmigiano.
Bologna. It's the same thing. Did bologna come from Bologna? It's spelled the same way. But people go to Bologna to go to cooking school. There's a lot of cooking schools in Bologna. So go ahead. I'm sorry, because
if you split the difference between Bologna and Parma, on whatever highway that is, I'm trying to see. I think it's
Autostrada
136 or something like that. But you go right through a town called Modena, which is not nearly as famous as those other two, but that is the home of the world's most highest rated restaurant, right? And Modena was just too far south for us when we were doing the lakes in Venice. When we were there, it was just too far south for us to be able to pull away and go. Plus, it was going to probably cost me, you know, $1,000, $1,500 for just dinner. But they do Jean cheese made in 6 different applications, which is just the thought of it kind of blows my mind. Anyway, she's Linda. I'm Kevin. We're coming right back. It's Travel Night. Stay here.
Keith Peters reporting. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says a Russian missile strike that smashed a television tower in Kharkiv was part of the Kremlin's ongoing effort to intimidate Ukraine's second largest city. Kharkiv has come under increasingly frequent attacks. Thousands of United Methodists are gathering today in Charlotte, North Carolina, to begin an 11-day denominational general conference. Typically, it's held every 4 years, but church leaders delayed the 2020 gathering until now due to the pandemic. Hundreds of delegates will vote on policies, though many international delegates are not confirmed as able to attend. It's the first gathering since thousands of conservative U.S. congregations left the denomination over its failure to enforce bans on LGBTQ clergy and on same-sex marriages. This is SRN News.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka here, inviting you to join me and Mike Gallagher on the Patriots Alaska Cruise this 4th of July weekend. Reserve your cabin today. Call 855 855- 865-5519 or book online at patriotsalaskacruise.com.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Want more of AM 970 The Answer and our hosts? Then interact with us. Follow us on Twitter for breaking news, what's coming up on the radio, thoughts from our hosts, deals from our advertisers, and more. Our handle is at AM 970 The Answer. Come on, tweet with us. AM 970 The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
My name is Imran Ansari, and I lead the Civil Litigation Division of Idala, Bertuna & Kamens, the preeminent New York litigation law firm. Have you been injured in a construction site accident? Have you fallen from a scaffold, ladder, or height while on the work site? If the answer is yes, then you may be entitled to significant monetary compensation for your injuries. In most cases, the law in New York favors you as the plaintiff if injured in a fall while working on someone else's property. It is important you speak to an attorney right away to make sure your rights are protected. Myself and our team of experienced trial attorneys will never settle for less than what you deserve. We are always ready to go to court to fight for you and seek justice. If you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, don't delay. Call Idala, Bertuna & Kamens at 212-486-0011, 212-486-0011, or visit us at idalalaw.com. Idala, Bertuna, and Kamens, fighting for justice, fighting for you.
Are you over 30 and putting off life insurance? It's time to get a quick quote from Ethos, a better, easier way to get term life insurance, all online with no medical exam. Answer a few health questions and you could be approved for up to $2 million. Isn't it worth 10 minutes to help protect your family's financial security? Ethos, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
Stop overpaying for wireless. There is a better way. PureTalk saves the average family about $1,000 a year on the most dependable 5G network in the U.S. You can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of high-speed data for just $30 a month. If you're ready to cut your wireless bill in half, dial #250 and say keyword spend less, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Again, dial #250 and say spend less and make the switch to PureTalk today.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
And we're back. We're talking Florence tonight, friends, partly because AM 970 The Answer is peopled mostly by Italians. There's two Irish people here, Jerry Crowley, the general manager, and Kevin McCullough. Everybody else is Italian. That's pretty much Arthur Idala, Joe Piscopo, all of the Piscopo Morning Show, Sibilia, they're all Italian. So we talk about Italy a little bit, but on Travel Night, it's fun because Linda's about to leave and be there for a few days. And I was looking up the restaurant. The restaurant is Osteria Francescana, and Massimo Bottura is the chef. In 2018, it was named best restaurant in the world. It was also named in 2016. It is a three-time Michelin guide top-ranked eatery in the world, and there's literally like eight seats inside. Like they pack out the seating, and you have to get reservations so far in advance. Like I didn't even know if we could have pulled out of like our tour group to go over and eat there, Linda, I don't think I could have gotten a table for the time that we were there.
So we were talking off air, right?
Yeah.
About this. I appreciate that Fufu food and these amazing chefs, but you know, when I go to Italy, I swear to you, give me a pizza, give me a steak in Florence, give me a dish of pasta at lunch from a trattoria. I was just saying this from some hole in the wall back alley restaurant that the tourists don't know about. That's what I want to eat when I go there. I don't think in the entire time that I have been visiting Italy, and that's 50 something years, I'm not going to say how many, I don't think I've ever really wanted to do fufu. And we do take our groups to some very, very, very elegant, good restaurants on the tour. You know, that's what I'm about. But like when I go to visit my daughter, I'm going with my other daughter. We were like, just slop it. We're looking for pizza. I want a good cappuccino. I want, you know, I want good gelato. I mean, that's what you go for. Because to me, any of this stuff can be mimicked at home. The really good stuff can't be mimicked at home, right? Yeah.
Well, when we were on our northern tour, and again, we focused on the lakes for the first several language. Guy that adopted that, his statue is in Verona. But the fun thing about that was it was like the first day of the Christmas markets. They were just opening up the little sheds and stuff all over the place. And they kind of turned us loose to just go find lunch on our own. And off the beaten trail, amazing. And what I loved about what you said about brunch or lunches earlier is that you can get a good bottle of like Lugana, which is a beautiful white wine that's just perfect for like a lighter lunch fare everywhere. And it's like the really good stuff. It's not just, you know, the stuff that you can afford to serve on Sunday if you're here in the States because it costs so much. So it I know exactly what you're saying about the everyday fare because you don't get that here. Like the McDonald's, Wendy's, excuse me, Subway, like what is American cuisine when you're looking at it against these beautiful cafes that make these beautiful little bowls of pasta? You know, I remember I had this bowl of carbonara that was just like the most wonderful thing that ever touched my mouth. And it was this little offshoot hole in the wall place, you know, in I think where were we on that day? I think that was what's the lake that George Clooney has a house on?
Como.
It was we were on the opposite side. We were on the tip of the point of the Lake Como where that was. And it was like and it was like cheap.
That's really north.
Yeah.
You're up near Switzerland there. So you're gonna
We came back through Switzerland that afternoon.
Because you're going to get a lot of good cheese up there and the Swiss stuff. I don't love the Swiss people. They're a little cold, but their food is okay.
So what do you think you're going to do with your time with your daughter when you're there? What are you going to have like just a few days? So
That's it. They'll fly by. I just said to her this morning when I spoke to her, I said, Bali, can you get me to Pisa? I haven't been to Pisa. Now,
how's the pizza in Pisa?
I don't know. Well, Pisa is P-I-S-A.
I know.
And pizza is P-I-Z-Z-A. So there is no correlation.
There's no connection at all?
No.
Pizza, so where did pizza come from?
Pizza in Italian means pie. So if you say a pizza pie, you're saying it's redundant. You're saying a pie. You have things like pizza rustica, right? You've ever heard pizza rustica?
It's like mushrooms and stuff.
Well, it's a pizza rustica. Rustica means rust base, and we save it for Easter. So pizza means pie. It has nothing to do with pizza.
Let's take a break and find out why she wants to go to Pisa when we come back. Stay here.
Relief Factor. If you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else and failed to find relief, do what I did more than 4.5 years ago. This product is liberating more than 1 million Americans from their daily pain by attacking the source of the pain, which is the inflammation on 4 separate pathways. If you've tried everything else and you've given up, one more attempt and you could be the next success story. It's super easy. Go to relieffactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me. You deserve to find out if you could be the next success story. You've waited long enough, and just ask yourself a very simple question. What do you have to lose? If the answer is nothing except the pain, then you know what to do. Call right now. 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-473-5433. ReliefFactor.com.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Mike Gallagher says we're witnessing a theft.
Bogus criminal case against Donald Trump. A so-called hush money payment to Stormy Daniels. So now Alvin Bragg has figured out a way to turn it from a misdemeanor into a felony just in time for the election. They are trying to steal the election. No other way to put it. There is an attempt to rig the 2024 election that we're witnessing before our very eyes.
The Mike Gallagher Show, weekdays at 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hi, it's Kevin McCullough. Join our sister station, WMCA, for the upcoming Pastors Appreciation Breakfast and Ministry Exhibition to give back to the hardworking pastors and ministry leaders of the tri-state area. Friday, May 24th at the Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn. Invite your pastor. The Pastors Appreciation Breakfast will include a delicious breakfast from DR Catering, fellowship, and a radio broadcast featuring yours truly. Enjoy music led by the CCC worship leaders and get gift bags, ministry awards, and an empowering keynote address from visionary pastor Ahar Bernard. This is a unique opportunity to come together as church and ministry leaders to inspire one another to press on. WMCA thanks you for your faithfulness to the calling, so don't miss this opportunity for encouragement. Pastors and ministry leaders, the event is free for you and your guests, but you must register. For more information or to reserve your tickets, go to WMCA.com. The Pastors Appreciation Breakfast is sponsored by Buttafuoco & Associates, PLLC, and the Historical Bible Society.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Weekday afternoons at 3 and evenings at 10 on AM 970. The Answer. And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, it's Florence night at Travel Tuesday because Linda's going there, and Kevin's just looking on with great envy. But you said before we went to break that the one thing you're asking your daughter to do is get you over to Pisa. What is it about Pisa that you want to go see?
The Leaning Tower.
Oh. You know? Now, you've probably seen that 100 times in your lifetime.
You know what? I think as you get older, you start to appreciate, like, oh, my God, this is the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
And how long has it been leaning?
A long time, and it still hasn't fallen over. We're very fortunate. You know, I try not to take these things for granted. And part of the Italian culture is we have so many things that originated in Italy that are so famous, so many landmarks, so many works of art that are owed to the Italians. I mean, think about it. If you think about it, I mean, listen, not to say anything about the French. The French are wonderful people, but you think of France, you think of Paris, you think of the Eiffel Tower. But when you go to Italy, right, there's everything. There's the gondolas and the beauty of Venice. There's the majesty of Florence and the David and Michelangelo and Leonardo and all these artists that you know, were there and made these creations that you can see in person. I mean, if you ever see the David, have you ever gotten to see the David?
Not in person.
You look at this. I mean, he was like 23 years old when he did this thing, and it is beyond. You just look at it and go, how does a human being sculpt this from a piece of marble in like 1500?
Yeah.
He I mean, when they had...
Well, and you know what's interesting is that all those artisans in that time frame were also scientists and architects and mathematicians. And, you know, they all studied the planets and they all studied the Earth's rotational force. Like, there were... It wasn't that they were just art. Like, now we have kids that, like, blow 4 years in college to become, you know, just artists. These guys, no. They were multidisciplinary. And I think they brought all of those disciplines into the art. That's why the domos are so incredible and spectacular, because there's a mathematical aesthetic to it that's like, it speaks to you. You don't even realize it's saying anything.
Well, I think it was... you know, the Sistine Chapel, right? Michelangelo da Vinci. They used to, like, Michelangelo was famous for, like, creating art and then destroying it because it wasn't coming to life or it wasn't what he wanted. And they used to exhume bodies, these guys, and look at things. And one of the things about the David... that he had to do over and over again was, if you look at it, the way he's holding the slingshot on his shoulder, this was studied by him. Could he really propel what he had on his shoulder, where his muscle lay and where the bicep, I mean, it's beyond. But again, Kevin, they had nothing else to do.
Right.
There was no TV. There was no
Grand Theft Auto to play. You know, they...
So, you know, we'll exhume a couple of bodies and figure out how the blood flows. But they got it right. So, yeah. You know, that's, I mean, that, and that's flush. So why do I want to go to Pisa? Because the Leaning Tower's there. And here's the thing. People go, and I've seen this on the bus so many times. It's like, okay, we're here. And meanwhile, you're looking around. The Leaning Tower is in this freaking field in Pisa. There's nothing else around it. There's a baptistry. There's a beautiful church. But they're like, this is it. And we're like, this is it. The same with Verona. Juliet's balconies in Verona.
Yes. And you got to go see that. I did see that. And you got to go see it. So let me ask you about the tower for a second, because I think I'm probably the 1 billionth person to ask this question. How have the Italians preserved it and prevented it from falling over all this time? Or is it a live danger that someone could be standing under it right now and it could fall on them?
I doubt it. I mean, you know, they have always said, what if there's a shift? What if there's an earthquake? Could it fall? Is it really imbalanced? But I think they've done so many studies on it over the years. It's not really an imbalance. It's the way it was created. It's the way it was the earth. I forget. You have to look up the history of it. Now, there has been scaffolding. They have preserved it. Italians are amazing at preserving their art. Amazing. Yeah.
Well, and one of the things I learned when I was there was that the laws that govern how art is preserved are some of the strictest on the planet, because Italy has the oldest art on the planet.
There you go. They absolutely do.
A lot of people don't realize this, but you go inside the cathedrals and the churches, and you have the frescoes that are there.
Amazing.
They have not, the preservation that is involved in keeping them is not touching them. They've literally had nothing put over them. They've not been retouched. And in some of the places, you know, you're talking about 4,000 or 5,000 year old frescoes that still have the color and the depth of the look today. And there's never been any touch-ups done to them at all. But the way the shade hits the building, it, they don't fade. There's things that are done to help keep it without coming into contact with it.
Well, one of the things they had said about the Sistine Chapel, and I remember this, it was when they started refurbishing the Sistine Chapel, was that it took over a month to do a piece the size of a postage stamp to go in there and to refurbish. Now, if you go in, if you saw it prior and then you saw it when it was done, I mean, the colors are just, they're spectacular. And you say, how could anybody ever lay on their back as long as he did and create this? I mean, it was like, he probably walked away a paraplegic. He had to walk away a paraplegic. I mean, I don't know how he did it. And he got sick during that time too. There were fumes and he got very ill and he had to stop and go back. But all those artists, that was their heart. That was their soul.
Yeah.
For doing, you know, And they were mandated, a lot of them, by the popes.
Well, they felt like what they were doing was eternal, and they wanted it to be worthy of, you know, what it was expected to be. All right. Well, she's headed to Florence in just a couple of days, and we've indulged an entire discussion of Italy tonight. And I hope it's been fun for me because it's made me want to now go to Florence. You've captured my imagination. When we come back, we do need some Perillo's pointers for tonight. Maybe, just maybe, you give us the lowdown on how to plan for a short trip to Italy instead of a long trip to Italy, because that's what, in fact, you're doing. And how are you going to preserve yourself against the, for instance, jet lag when you don't really have time to recover from it? Anyway, we'll talk about that and more when we come back. Stay with us.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow don't have the support of box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. It's part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly on to you. They are having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. Since then, with the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products. To get the word out, they're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. My pillow sandals, $25. The six-pack towel set, $25. The four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, $25. For the first time ever, premium My Pillows with all new Giza fabric, any size and any loft level, just $25. This amazing offer will not last long. So order now. Go to mypillow.com or call 800-651-0798. Use the promo code Joe P.
Thank you so much for those of you giving to the annual attempt to help feed those who are hungry with our partners at Food for the Poor. Here from Food for the Poor is my good friend Anitra Parmalee.
I want to take you with me to a village in Guatemala. We're standing in front of a home, a mother, her children, and the little boy whispers to the mom. And when the translator says, he just asked his mom if he could go to work with his dad. We're talking about working backbreaking labor in the fields. And his explanation for why he wanted to work was because his four-year-old sister was not getting enough food. And he wanted to make sure that she and her body was restored. That's the story, one of the many stories on the other side of your gift. You can honor Kevin's willingness to sacrifice for his sister by giving a generous gift to rescue not only Kevin, but also his sister with food for a year. Will you make your best gift right now, knowing you can transform the lives of children whose faces you may never see this side of heaven?
And for the next 10 minutes, friends, every gift that you give is going to be doubled. 855-907-4673. Twice as many children will be fed because you give the gift right now. 855-907-4673. Do it within the next 10 minutes to make sure it qualifies for the matching challenge, but do it right now. Friends, every gift you give right now is going to double in value, and that means that we're going to feed twice as many children because you gave the gift at this time. 855-919-4673, or go online to am970theanswer.com. So please call the number or go online right now.
AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Brandon Tatum is next on AM 970, The Answer. Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
All right. She's Linda. I'm Kevin. It's Travel Tuesday. And Linda surprised me tonight when she came on and she said, hey, you know, can we make sure we get done on time? Which an hour is an hour, Linda. I don't know how we could take any longer or less. But thank you for being here. And she said, I've got to leave for Florence in 2 days. And I said, how long are you going to be there? And she goes, I'm only going to be there for 3 or 4 days. And then she's coming back. So I remember it took me like a day and a half to catch up. Jet lag one way or the other. How do you, when you plan a small trip versus a longer trip to Italy, how do you do it differently?
No secret. because you're going to get there the time you're going to get there, and the day is going to have the same amount of hours, and the clock is going to tick the same, and you got to do the same thing that you would. I think one of the things I found over time.
So will you try to get yourself on Italy time before you leave?
No, I get there. And listen, I mean, I've been doing this a long time. You get there and you basically go, I'm in Italy, I'm going to suck this up. So for the most part, I'll get there in the morning probably and make sure you have some caffeine. Get some caffeine on board, have a good cappuccino, have a breakfast because you get there in the morning. It's okay to take a siesta. They do anyway. So it's okay to take that nap, but don't oversleep. Right. Get up. Maybe give yourself an hour, 2 hours, maybe get yourself adjusted. Go out for dinner.
Just enough to revive yourself and then go do a full evening.
Correct. And if you go to bed at 7, you know, I always tell people, if you're tired at 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock, that's OK. You're going to sleep.
Hey, don't tell anybody this, but sometimes I fall asleep at 8:30, 9 o'clock now in American time. So that's nothing to be ashamed of.
Patrick and I are done. 8:30 is late for us, man. Oh, my God. But so that's the thing. And then, you know, you wake up the next morning and you start your day. And then you're going to come back. I already know. Monday when I get back here, I'm going to be tired. Tuesday when you and I meet again, I'm going to be tired. But what are you going
to
do?
But you'll have been to Italy. And that will be the difference.
That's the difference.
Your whole spirit will be happier because you've experienced the homeland.
Yep.
Well, sure. I hope that you do get to see the tower. Anything else that you're really wanting to make sure you?
I don't know. I said to Valentina, you know, you can do a day trip from there to Venice. You get on, hop on the train, you go. It's two.
How
hours.
Far is it? 2 hours.
2 hours on the
That's
train.
Not bad.
No, it's not bad. You got to take the rapid, the Frecciarossa or something, you know, an express train, and then you could spend the day there. I just don't like not having a home base, like not having a hotel or a place that I can go if I have to go.
You can't stay in her dorm?
No. I'm talking like if you went to Venice for the day or something that. Right, I waver. But we'll wing it when we get there. We don't have that much time to be like leisurely about it.
Going from Pisa, which is on the west coast, to Venice, which is on the far northeast coast, you're gonna put some miles on if that happens. So we'll see.
It's like an hour or less to get there.
All right. Linda, have a safe travel and come back and regale us with more stories of Italy.
I absolutely will. I can't wait.
All right. She's Linda. I'm Kevin. By the way, tomorrow we're going to talk wellness as we normally do, but we've got some really cool reports to give you on progress on the dementia Alzheimer's front. So we're going to highlight that tomorrow. And then Thursday, we'll talk legal with Imran and have some fun with Christine on Friday. It's all straight ahead on the Radio Night Live week that is. We'll see you then.